Yeah, this is what we're going to discuss. Don't bother writing down what's on the board. I would rather see you participating in the discussion, and then you can get that from the website. Yes, sweet. Yes, yes. Email.
Oh my God.
Okay? All right? So, basically what you need to do, here, I'm recording. Look, it's recording.
Okay.
All right? It's recording right there. So be careful. Your parents will be able to tell if you are talking or not, or if you are participating in the discussion, or just present by your body, but your brain is somewhere else. You really need to just copy the email address, or actually don't even copy it. You go to the website, you'll find the notes with the email address. And then it's due Saturday at 10 p.m. That's the deadline, after which I'm not accepting any more homework. It will be marked late. I will accept it, but it will be marked late.
But shouldn't it technically be due on Sunday? That's when everything else...
No, not Sunday. It is because, look at it. I mean, if you don't finish it Saturday by 10 p.m., you're not getting it on Sunday. All right. Now, let's have the discussion. We are exploring the name of Allah Al-Hakim. Al-Hakim means the most wise. When we understand the reasons for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, when we see the wisdom, we will trust Allah more and we will follow what He says. And this is inspires us to follow what He says. Now let's look here. The first point of discussion is the name of Allah, Al-Khaliq. The name of Allah what?
Al-Khaliq.
Allah, nature is Al-Khaliq. Is Allah trying to be Al-Khaliq, or He is actually Al-Khaliq? That's His nature. This is who He is. This is one of His characteristics, is that He is Al-Khaliq. Okay? All right? So now, if He is Al-Khaliq, and He doesn't create, and He doesn't what? Create. All right? Then it is one of two things. What are these two possibilities? If He is Al-Khaliq, and that's His nature, okay? And He doesn't create. So what would be the two possibilities if He doesn't create? Huh? The first possibility is that His name is not true. Al-Khaliq is not true. It's a false name. Right? That is the first possibility. He claims to be Al-Khaliq, but he's not doing... Yeah, he's not Al-Khaliq. And what is the second possibility? Useless. Like, He is Al-Khaliq, but it's useless. It's useless to be Al-Khaliq. Why it's useless to be Al-Khaliq? Because? Because
He didn't create.
Yeah, He didn't use it. Right? It's like this, okay, you have this car at home that you're not using. Then you're wasting the car, and you're not wise. The car is useless. And it's not good to have something that is so precious and so important, okay, that is useless. Do you guys agree with me?
Yes.
Okay. The second question is it appropriate for Allah, for His Majesty, to have a false name?
No.
Is it appropriate for His Majesty to have a useless nature?
No.
So based on this, okay, based on this discussion, why are we saying no, by the way? Because we have high image of Allah. We have what?
High
image of Allah. Those who think that otherwise, that Allah, one of the names of Allah is false, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is less than perfect, flawless, complete, unit, self-sufficient, needless, those who think that Allah is other than that, Okay? Then they have so-called low
image of Allah.
Image of Allah. Low image of Allah. So if you ever answer and say, Allah can have a false name, that's a low image. If you say Allah has a useless name, that's what?
Low
image. People go to hellfire for thinking, for looking down to Allah, for having a low image of Allah. Really, that is what's called shirk. When you have a low image of Allah, then you have shirk. You know, the people who, by the way, choose other gods, okay, and they call them the middle guys, the middle gods, between us and Allah. Those who choose those middle gods. And they worship them and they ask them to, okay, to deliver the message to who? Allah, right?
Yeah.
So they pray for them and say, okay, now you take our prayers and go up and give it to who? Allah. They have a low image of Allah. What would you think this low image is? When you ask a middle person to take your prayer, who's small enough to get your attention, I mean, he's small enough so that you can get his attention, and he's big enough so that he can get the attention of Allah. Okay? You're saying that's the whole logic behind having a middle god. These idols, by the way, people think that they are not real god. They know that these are middle gods. Yeah. Even the people who are dead in the graves and people pray for them, they are not stupid. They know that this guy is not God. But they think of this guy as a what?
Middle God.
Middle God. Who is small enough to listen to them, small enough to listen to them, and big enough to, get the attention of Allah. When you do that, Allah is angry because you are developing a low image about him. What is that low image?
He doesn't care about
it's too big to
hear you.
Yeah. It's like
he is not the all-knowing, basically. You're saying that.
Exactly. MashaAllah. Takbir. Very good answer. That he needs assistance he needs those middle guys to tell him that, like he needs those representatives, right? To tell him what is everybody, what are the needs of everybody. Why? Because it's too much for him, too much for his majesty to listen to those little insects called humans, right? We are, it's too much for him to worry about us. It takes so much energy of him. It takes so much, okay, of his time. And he doesn't want to bother about it because it's costing him, right? Now, is that a low image or high image?
Low
image. Why? Because Allah can listen to us, to everyone, and it's not hard or costly on him. It is not costing him anything to listen to us, to give us what we need. It is easy. It is not hard on him by any means. I mean, what is he? He's just like, he can do that like without costing him anything. Okay? So he is taking care of you. He's digesting your food. He's taking care of your details. Like he's digesting your food. He's organizing your heartbeats. He is taking care of every little detail in this universe. And it doesn't bother him. He's not only taking care of the big matters, he's taking care of the big matters and everything, small matters. Is it bothering him?
No.
No. Is it costing him any energy or effort? No. It's nothing for him. When he gives you Jannah, if he gives you a galaxy, he takes a galaxy and he fills it up with entertainment, okay, things, and he says, you deserve Jannah, and he gives it to you. Is that too much for him?
No.
It is costing him? Is it making him poor?
No.
Why don't I want to give you my money? Because I have a limited amount of money, right? If I give you my money, then
you'll have
your money.
Yeah, then I will not have enough, right? But Allah, would it cost him even a fraction of a penny to give everybody a Jannah as big as this universe? No, it's not. Okay, so it is something very simple, and that's why we have a high image of him. Okay, this is why we have a high image of him. One of the problems that we always face, like I always face about the Christian faith, is that they say that God had to sacrifice himself on the cross because there was a conflict in his characteristics. There's a conflict in his nature. This conflict is a conflict between justice and mercy. Justice and mercy. So how is this conflict is possible? Huh? Can you think? Justice and mercy. And how is that related to the Christian faith or the Trinity? Okay, I'll give you a hint. One half of the answer, and you think about the other half. They say the conflict between his mercy and his justice came because his mercy is telling him to forgive us, right? Because he's the most forgiving. And his justice is telling him to punish us because we made a mistake, right? Okay, so where is the conflict? Huh?
He's saying one thing, he wants one thing done, but if he also wants another thing done, and if one thing is done, it'll conflict with the other.
Masha'Allah, I'm always impressed about your deep thoughts. Yes?
You say his mercy. First he wants to punish them, but then he's forgiving them.
Exactly. It is opposite. So there's a conflict in his personality, or there's a conflict in his nature. And then they say, to resolve that conflict, he came up with an idea. What was that idea? He said, okay, to please my justice, to satisfy my justice, I am going to punish myself on their behalf. Punish myself on their behalf. So this way, I'm okay with justice. All right? And then, I am okay with mercy too. Why? Because when I punish them myself on their behalf, then they are not going to be punished. You see the philosophy? Okay? Well, to punish himself, he goes down to earth in a form of a human, and he let a bunch of criminal thugs beat him up so bad, really, and humiliate him. And you can't imagine what they did to him. And then, just if you watch the movie The Passions of Christ, you will see awful things that they did to him. And then they killed him at the end. They what?
Killed him
at the end. They say he punished himself for our sins. So now his justice is satisfied, right? All right? Okay, he saved us by punishing himself for our sins. So now justice is okay? All right, somebody paid for the sins, okay? And then, on the other hand, his mercy is okay because he forgave us, right? Already, he's not punishing us. This is how the conflict was resolved. Now, the problem with this that comes right away and conflicts with our faith is that a low image of Allah or a high image?
Low image.
Why is it a low image? Because what happens if I say you're conflicting yourself as a... Like I say, hey, you are conflicting yourself. Would you be happy about hearing that?
No.
Do you take it as an insult? Wouldn't you take it as an insult?
Yeah.
If I tell you you're conflicting yourself, if I tell you part of you is conflicting with the other part, is that a nice thing to say to someone?
No.
Okay. Now, it is nice to say, it's not nice to say that to a human. Now, is it nice to say that to Allah? Is that a low image or a high image?
Low image.
And that's where the catch is. We Muslims have the most perfect, highest image of Allah. First of all, it's not appropriate for His Majesty to go down on earth, eat food, and go to the bathroom and lift a bunch of criminal thugs, beat him up so bad and humiliate him and then kill him on a cross. That's a very low image of Him. He would not allow such a thing to happen because He's way above and beyond that. He's much better than that. And the second thing, He's way much better than having a conflict in His personality. You know, how could He be a perfect God having a conflict in His personality? Yes?
Why would a God come down to earth if He just wanted to see
Him? Okay, because He wanted to take the punishment on the behalf of the people. So this is how He decides that He wants to take the punishment. That He goes down to earth and get beaten up real well, injured, humiliated, and then killed on a cross. So now He punished Himself to substitute for our punishment. That is the philosophy. That is what the Christian faith is all about. Tell you, if you don't believe that Jesus is the Savior, okay, then you're wrong. All right? In order to be right, you have to believe that He came down to earth to sacrifice Himself to save you from punishment. Okay? So that is the whole philosophy. And that's why that's one of the theological, you know what theology is? Understanding of God or realization of God. That's why we have a problem with that. So the bottom line here that we have the conclusion is that in item or point number one, okay, it is a low image. You will be having a low image of Allah if you think that one of His names is false or useless. We agree on that?
Yeah.
Let's move forward. So He has to create, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I have an argument. You know what that argument is? Why didn't He just create angels? Well, that would make Him a creator, right? At the same time, okay, it wouldn't create this big mess on earth. Like, you look at the mess we're seeing around crimes, criminals. Huh?
The angels have to obey Allah all the time.
Okay.
They have to do good.
That's nice. That's good, right? That's something good.
But Allah wants human beings.
He raised His hand first.
But He wants to have human beings have free choice.
Yeah, but why is that? I mean, why?
To see what they would do, like,
yeah, to be tested. Why? Huh?
If everyone is angels and nothing bad, so He wants to test us if we're going to be good or bad.
Right. Perfect answer. But my question is, why does He want to test us? Huh?
If He wants to test us, if it was one of His names of Allah, if He just makes angels and always obeys Him, then I'm not sure, but one of His names is
Al-Ghafoor?
Yeah, that one. So
the most forgiving?
Yeah, yeah. So if He just created people who would obey Him, then of His attributes wouldn't be true. And
MashaAllah. Very, very impressive. Takbir. MashaAllah, MashaAllah, MashaAllah. You always, wallah, impress me the way you think. What He said is very, very, very logical. Allah has other names. Is the Maker the only name?
No, not.
Let's talk about the most forgiving. And He creates only angels and trees. Only angels and trees. Okay? Now, then His name, the most forgiving, is either false or useless.
Useless.
Why? Because angels don't need forgiveness and trees don't need forgiveness, I can assure you. Right?
So a tree does something bad.
Ah, come on now. That fiction that believes the trees are people and they're moving around, that you can see it in your nightmare. All right? So, perfect answer. This is the perfect answer. All right. So, there are other names for Allah that can't be either false or useless. And that's why He created humans to be tested. When they are tested, they will make
good or bad
mistakes, right? And when they make the mistake, Allah tells them the way out of it is to ask Me for forgiveness. And then I will give you forgiveness. Where did we get this from? There's a hadith from the Prophet ﷺ who said, if you don't make sense and ask Allah to forgive you, and Allah forgives you, Allah will end your existence. and bring other creation that makes mistakes and beg of Allah to forgive them or pray for forgiveness, and then Allah would forgive them. Huh?
Why didn't Allah just make a human? Why did he have to make human animal? Because the rest
of the things. Perfect. Why anybody can think about an answer? That's a very good question. Why humans and jinn? Jinn are be tested, and jinn need forgiveness.
Human
beings? Yeah, but why not jinn, and that would be sufficient?
Different
kinds, huh?
I'm just taking a guess here, but... Actually,
don't worry. You don't have to always say the perfect answer. Try, brainstorm. Share whatever you have in mind.
I just lost it, that's all right.
Okay. Anybody can think of any reason?
Like, did he really try that? Like, create jinn?
There are other names of Allah that apply only to humans. It doesn't apply to jinn. What are they?
The provider.
The provider. Yeah. The provider. Supplier. Supplier. Now, do jinn need supplies?
No.
I'm not sure. But what I know from what is mentioned in the Quran and Surah Al-Jinn, that they don't need supplies. But from my knowledge, I got it from somewhere. I have no clue from where, this source, that somebody said that there's a hadith. I am unable to confirm this hadith, that jinn feed on the human remains. Yeah. So, if this is the case also, it means that Allah will not be the provider in that sense, probably, or something like that. But this is a very good question, and I would like you guys to explore the answer and tell me, what is it? Because this is what I'm going to do. I am going to keep thinking and thinking and thinking until I understand I have a good reason. Why did Allah just create jinn? Didn't create jinn. Maybe another thing is that as the angels, when they asked him that you're creating humans that will shed blood and spread corruption by comparing them to jinn, he said, I know things that you don't know. Maybe that thing is that we will have a higher success rate. Maybe there's one thing that I can think of here is that the name of Allah Shakur, the most thankful. Okay? The most thankful, it will be shown in those perfect humans who have done a perfect job, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah said He's going to plant their Jannah by His own hands. Where do I get this from? When Prophet Musa went to meet Allah, and this is a hadith, and he used to have conversations with Allah, he would ask Allah, who goes to the highest level of Jannah? Who goes to the highest floor? Who goes to the lowest floor? So when he asked Allah, who goes to the highest floor? Allah said, those are the ones that I intended to get out of this creation. So I've created all this creation so that those people show themselves, demonstrate themselves worthy of this level of thanking. And you can just imagine the infinity of Allah is the thanking, the most thing. You can just imagine. Allah says in that hadith that to Prophet Musa, He said, I built the Jannah by my own hands. Which tells you that the Jannahs for less than that are built by angels. So Allah said, I have built their own Jannah by their own hands. I was the builder of their homes in Jannah. I was the farmer of these trees by myself. Not sending an angel to do it, no, by myself. So you can imagine. And then Allah says, no eye have ever seen, no brain can ever imagine, no ear has ever heard the surprises that I have prepared for them in Jannah. the surprises, surprise after surprise, endless number of surprises. So that would show the name of Allah is Shakur. You know what Shakur is? The one who is most thankful. His thanking, he thanks you with infinite thank you. So it's just not one check for $1,000. No, it's an infinite thank you by Jannah. Okay? So that is, according to this hadith, this is what Allah said. These are the ones that I've intended, okay, by the creation of this universe. I don't think this applies to the jinn because I haven't heard anywhere that jinn will qualify to that status. Jinn didn't raise themselves, could not reach to that level. So they don't qualify for that particular level of ash-shakur, the most thankful. So perhaps Allah wanted another creation to qualify for this so that they get it. That's another thing that I can think of. Right? But you can always go back to the names of Allah and they will explain whatever question you have, because this is his product. His nature will show up on his product, which is this whole universe. Okay. Now, we can understand why Allah gave us free choice, knowing that we would make mistakes, because his name, Al-Ghafoor. Now, three. How about the contrast? We're going further to show why did Allah create his enemies? What are the enemies of Allah, by the way? Three enemies. I'll mention one. Lower desires. Two.
Jealousy.
Yeah, evil temptations.
Shaitan.
Okay. Three, shaitan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are pretty much like those three. Either shaitan or lower desires or evil temptations. Those are his enemies.
Aren't lower desires and evil temptations kind of the same thing?
No, a lower desire is just like hunger, desire to marry, I mean not to marry, to marry outside of marriage, like to have a relationship outside of marriage, things like that are lower desires. Temptations are more feelings, that shaitan-driven feelings, like jealousy and greed and all of this.
Man.
Lower desires are they exist in all humans, but temptations, not all temptations exist in all humans. Like there's someone who never gets jealous, but he's weak in another area. Okay, so now, why did Allah create his own enemies and give him so much power and freedom to do opposite to what he wants?
So that they can enjoy this life, because in the next one they'll be burning in the forest later.
Right, but that's not a wisdom or an objective. This is a fact. This is a fact. But what is the... Why did Allah create his own enemies and give them powers and freedom to do opposite to what he wants? I can think of one reason. I can think because he wants us to have free choice, right?
Yeah, the...
Yeah, to have a free choice, it wouldn't be possible to have a free choice unless, what? Unless, huh? Unless what? Unless he creates his own enemies and gives them powers to influence you. Now, what happens if he creates enemies but he doesn't give them powers to influence you? What happened to the angels? Go ahead. What happens to the angels? Aren't angels immune from the influence of the shaitan? Yeah. Shaitan doesn't have any kind of influence in angels. When he sees angels, he runs. He runs for his life. I'm not kidding. You know, he's too scared. Angels are his enemies. Okay? And they really, really beat him up real bad, you know, when they see him. So really, they are a threat to him, big threat. And then, so they are not going to ever be influenced by him. Do angels have lower desires?
No.
Do they have temptations?
No.
As a result, they only have one way to go. which is always be good. Why would they ever do something evil or think about something evil if they don't have temptations? Think about it. I don't have a temptation at all. Why would I think about evil if there's no temptation making me think about evil and shaitan has no influence on me? So this is why to them it's not challenging. Obeying Allah is not
challenging.
It is natural. Like what? Like breathing. Is it difficult to breathe?
No.
It is natural, right?
Yeah.
So obedience of the angels to Allah is like breathing. It's not challenging. It's natural. So they even breathe. Like, do you breathe consciously or unconsciously?
Unconsciously.
No. Do you know an animal who breathes consciously? Like, he has to think about breathing? There is an animal. I was in the Great America, and they say the dolphins. They say the dolphins, right? They say the dolphins doesn't just automatically breathe. They have to think about breathing and make themselves breathe. Okay? They control that. It's in their control. And they plan it. It's not like us. And then I was wondering, and I was having a discussion, why would they be busy with eating? So somebody gave me a funny answer. He said, well, they don't have much to worry about and think about. So probably thinking about breathing is probably, it's okay for them because they don't have much to think about. Anyway, but for us, breathing is natural. We don't even think about it. You know, I never thought about breathing. I just breathe, It just comes natural, okay? So angels worship to Allah is as easy as we are breathing. Is it challenging?
No.
Then, if we are immune from the influence of the shaitan and we don't have evil temptations, then it will be
easy,
just like an angel. And it wouldn't be a test. And Allah wouldn't, forgiveness, the most forgiving name, will not apply to us.
Yeah.
We'll just be another kind of angels, right? So, that's why Allah created his own enemies and gave them the freedom and power. So that they tempt us, and they pressure us to do the evil. Then we are truly in a situation where we have to choose between either the right or the left, between the good and the bad. Is that it? No. I would give you a hint about another reason. Why did Allah create his enemies and give them power? I will give you a hint. How about contrast? So this is contrast. Is it telling you about another reason for which Allah created his own enemies? Yeah, I know you know, Sarah. But think about it. Contrast. Creating the shaitan, contrast, opposite to Allah. I mean, don't we sometimes, Sammy, learn the meaning of a word by talking about the opposite, right?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like sad. Opposite of happy. Sad. Opposite of happy. High. Opposite of low. Right? So that's one way to understand the word. Right? So that's called contrast. Now, what this has to do with shaitan and Allah?
You're the opposite.
Yes. Okay. So, good. Good. You're going there. Huh? Keep going. Huh? Contrast. So what do we get out of that? That they are opposite. There's a benefit that we benefit from seeing the opposite. Okay, I'll go ahead.
You see the right road and you see the wrong road?
You're coming there. But let me give you a hint that will get you straight to the answer. If all food on earth is sweet, nothing on the face of this earth that tastes sour. Everything is sweet. Okay? Let's assume that. Okay? And then I come from a different planet, and I have a piece of a chocolate with me, and I give it to you. I say, taste that. So you eat the chocolate. I say, okay. I say, how does it taste? You say, normal. I say, what do you mean, normal? This is sweet. You say, what's sweet? What's sweet? What are you talking about, sweet? It's normal. You say, no, it's sweet. No, it's normal. There's nothing other than that. Say, no, sweet, opposite of sour. He says, what? Sour? Sweet? Where did you get this from? I don't understand. Huh? So, huh? Right, you won't be able to recognize the opposite, right? So, if...
You can't feel pain without feeling...
Oh, it's sort of like praying.
Appreciation. Can you appreciate the kindness of Allah without suffering from the meanness of the shaitan?
No.
Can you appreciate the justice of Allah without suffering from the injustice of the shaitan?
No.
When do you see how much injustice we have in this world? Do you see how difficult it is to bring justice? It requires a lot of work, to bring justice. The Prophet had to go work so hard to bring justice. And many prophets failed to bring justice because people were just not listening and they don't want justice. There are always people who want to take advantage of others. Greedy, selfish people, right? Now, when you see all of that, and I tell you Allah is the most just, wouldn't you appreciate that? Oh yeah. That's a beautiful name. Why? Yeah, because I have seen injustice. But if injustice does not exist, there is nothing called injustice at all on the face of the earth. And then Allah comes and says, one of my names is the most just. Then you say, what's the big deal? Most just? Okay, so what? Is justice a challenge? Is it something that you claim credit for? Like, I'll give you another example. Somebody, okay, it's daytime and there's a big, nice sun. It's a sunny day. If it's always like that, and somebody says, oh, mashallah, alhamdulillah, it's so sunny and beautiful today. You tell them, are you out of your mind? It has been always like that since I was born.
What if you weren't born?
Come on now, don't be ridiculous. Since I've never seen something other than that, then you will not appreciate it, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the wisdoms of the shaitan is to appreciate the character, the nature of Allah by comparing the nature of shaitan to
Allah.
The nature of Allah. Not only comparing like theoretically, no. Trust me, we go through a lot of pain. A lot of pain because of shaitan. Because of the injustice of the shaitan. Because of the meanness of the shaitan. Because of the deception of the shaitan. Shaitan deceived a lot of people into being unfair and unjust. And you are a victim. I am a victim. Somebody else is a victim. You have suffered so much from injustice. Then you say, Allah says, I am the most just and fair. You say, Ya Allah, I appreciate it so much. I appreciate your justice and fairness so much because you can't believe how much I suffered from injustice. Without shaitan being present, who is going to give you injustice? Would Allah ever give you injustice?
No.
Would Allah ever be the source of injustice?
No.
Allah, shaitan has to do that. That's another wisdom of this. Now, the last thing. The last thing is about testing. Somebody says, I don't want to be tested. The answer is false. You want to be tested. Then that person says, you say I want to be tested? Yes. Prove it. Prove that I want to be tested. Easy. Dead people, are they being tested?
Yeah.
Dead? If you die? No. In order to be tested, you need to be alive, right?
Yeah.
Which one do you love?
Being alive.
Or being dead? Being alive. So here's number one. You love to be tested because you love to be alive. Another thing. Okay. Free people are being tested, right? Slaves are not being tested, right? Only you have to have freedom of choice to be tested. Okay? The more freedom you have, the more, the harder is the test. Do you like to be controlled by a remote control? Like Sammy, I put some machine on your back and I just don't let you do anything other than what I do with the remote control. Make you a slave of mine, okay? Is that better? Do you like this or to be free?
Free.
So here's number two. You love freedom, you love to be tested. You don't want to be tested, okay? Then you don't like freedom. Because freedom is a test. With freedom comes a responsibility. You know, Allah will not just give you a freedom like that and make you do whatever you want. No. Freedom with responsibility. If you do good, here it is the reward. If you go bad, here is the punishment. That's the second. That's the second proof. Third proof. Which one is tested more? Obama or me?
Obama.
Obama. Why?
He's to a higher accountability.
Yeah. Why?
Because
he has more power. His decision will affect the whole entire world because he is the strongest guy in the world today. Okay? Now, my decision will barely affect my family. Okay? Then the question is, which one is having a harder test? He is. But which one do we want? Do we want more power or less power?
Less power.
Do we humans, want, seek more power or less power? People work hard to get what? More power. Does it take a genius to figure out that the more power you have, you're being tested harder? So you want to make your test harder, huh? Don't we want to make our test harder? Yes. Okay. Now, another proof.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You're saying that if you work hard, you'll be tested more?
Yes.
So then aren't you basically saying that we should work hard so our test is easier?
No, I'm saying something else. I'm saying work hard, okay? And whatever you get, thank Allah. Because Allah loves the thankful rich, and He loves the patient poor, okay? When you get money, be thankful. If you're poor, be patient. And don't accuse Allah of being mean. Why aren't you making me rich? I open a restaurant, I go out of business, and I lose my money. Why? What is going to hurt you making me rich? You made this guy rich and he's a mean guy, stupid guy, foolish guy, and I'm smarter than this guy and I'm not being rich. You don't say that because you're accusing Allah. Now, another proof that proves that we want to be tested, we want a harder test, is that which one is tested harder? The rich or the poor? Does it take a genius to figure out that the rich have a harder test?
No.
Because he has to give up more. The poor, by the way, how many pillars of Islam the poor has to do?
Three.
What are they? Shahada.
Shahada.
Fasting, yeah.
And prayer.
So what are the two that the poor people don't have to do?
Zakat.
So here's right away. If you're poor, your test is down to 60%. Do we want to be poor? No, we want to be rich. So you're asking for it, huh? You want to be tested, huh?
But the poor, what if they can't afford food to break their fast? So isn't it technically only two?
Still, they have to fast. During daytime, they can't eat, whether they have food or they don't.
So they don't have food.
They don't have food. They have food. Whatever, they have to be fasting during Ramadan. Yes. Oh, they do dry wudu.
Okay.
So basically, the bottom line. Now, finally, before I let you go, don't we, by our choice, go to college and take hard tests? Okay. By our choice. For our benefits, because we're thinking about getting a good job and all of that. Don't we do that?
Yeah.
Who's pushing you to be tested? You want to be tested because you want to qualify for better life, right?
Better life, yeah.
Same thing, Allah is testing you to qualify you for a better life. So you want to be tested. Don't say, I don't want to be tested. Okay, wish death, wish to be a slave, wish to be poor, wish to have no power. We wish opposite to that, so you want to be tested. All right. Inshallah, don't forget the email homework. Assalamu alaikum. I'll see you next week.